Okay. There we go. Maybe it just need to be reset. Sometimes you just got to reset. Yeah. Woo! Praise God. You can hear me now. If you can't hear me now, you are deaf as a doornail. I pushed it. It was green. It showed green. I'm colorblind and can see the green. Yeah. Yeah. I'll take all responsibility. I usually do anyway, so I'll take it all. All right. Not unlike this political season that we see, I will take responsibility. Okay. All right. I'll leave it alone right there. Leave it alone because nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. So praise God. Okay. But what's getting ready to happen, we're getting ready to find out. Ready? I do have this little thing here. It's a little on the dark side, but it's Charlie Brown and Snoopy talking. And Charlie Brown says, "Snoopy, many folks are praying for God to heal our land, but I think he's still waiting for his people to humble themselves, repent, and turn from their wicked ways." That's Charlie Brown philosophy, which is actually Chronicles. Amen. God is so awesome. I love him, and I know he's got something for us. Amen. All right. So now, here we go. We're getting ready to start. First, I want to tell you about something. To get your Bibles out, turn to Revelation chapter 1. It may take us a couple of weeks to get through Revelation chapter 1. I don't know. I'm actually playing this by ear, so to speak, because if you want to see Revelation lived out, just watch the news. I never in my entire life, when I was a little boy, I remember hearing preachers talk about Revelation, what was going to happen, and talking about the mark of the beast and a plague that was going to attack the whole world and a one world government and a one world uprising. And I never really, it used to scare me to death as a little kid. And then when I got saved, it didn't scare me, but it confused me. And then over the years, as computer technologies and as we began to get more and more technical, I began to see how this stuff could happen, but never would I have thought that 2020, because I was saying 2020, the year of clear vision, is actually the year, it's a clear vision, all right, it's a clear vision of what's coming, okay, but it's actually just, I've never seen anything like it. Before we get started, though, we're going to anoint, anybody need an anointing in their body, come on up here. Guys, come on up, we're going to pray for folks that need anointing for their body. My wife gave me a good idea and I still forgot. I'm going to get anointing oil and put it in a spray bottle so we don't have to touch each other. Amen. Which is very good. And dear, I didn't listen. I listened, but I didn't follow through. Isn't that cool? That's what most husbands do. I reckon you're the only one up here tonight. Okay. Well, that's okay. Back up a little bit from me. Okay, we're going to pray for. Who are we praying for? Praying for Georgia. Okay, and her hip. Is there anybody else? So pray for anybody else that needed to touch. Just raise your hand and we're going to ask God to touch those knees. Wayne. Okay. Here we go. All right, I'm going to stay back 6 foot, but I can't shoot you. So I'm at the whole back. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your ability to heal. Touch Georgia right now. Touch that hip. I ask you right now, touch Wayne. Touch those hives. I ask, Lord, all these hands that were raised that they wouldn't be anointed on behalf. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Anointing is taking place. We're trusting you in the name of Jesus. And brother, now you pray for me for the service. Come on. Go ahead, just ask the Lord to bless the service.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your blessings. We ask you to love and praise and trust in each and every one of us and forgive us for anything we have done wrong in the name of God.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Okay. I happen to see this little cute little joke or little whatever you want to call it. And it reminded me of what's happening now. And here it is before we stand for Revelation. I just want that you hear this. Two caterpillars. Two caterpillars are sitting on a leaf when a butterfly zooms by. It startles them. One turns to the other and says, "Boy, you'll never get me up in one of those things." Y'all didn't get that? Okay, I'll try it one more time. Two caterpillars. Eddie got it. Two caterpillars are sitting on a leaf when a butterfly zooms by, vroom, and it startles them. So one turns to the other and says, boy, you'll never get me up in one of those things. I'm not going to try three times because it'll go down. Okay, we're going to crash and burn. The whole thing is is the caterpillar was saying that I'll never do that. I'll never get into that, not realizing that he's getting ready to get into that. In the same way, you know, we say, I don't want to hear about Revelation. We're not going to have to worry about Revelation. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. And I'm here to tell you something. Look at this. Watch it. Watch this. Y'all say that. We were warned. All right. You see that? See that? That's the world to all the pieces. Think about it. United States flag there. Cities are burning. We've got burning on one coast. We've got uprisings in all kinds of ways. There's just all kinds of things happening around us. I'm not here to make a political statement. I will not be political. I'm going to be biblical. Okay? There is a big difference. And please do not take what I say as a political statement. This is all biblical statements. And if that biblical, if I talk about political, then I can be offensive to folks. But if I talk about biblical, and I apologize, but if I talk about biblical and it offends somebody, I don't have to apologize. It is biblical. Okay. So that's why in this political season, I'm not talking politics. I'm talking biblical. We're talking about it on Wednesday night or Tuesday nights too. It's all biblical, and everybody can decide on their own, because too many people, like I say it all the time, too many men and women have died for us to have that choice and that freedom, and none of us see things the same way. Not one of us sees things exactly like the person beside us sees it, whether it be our mate, our children, whoever. None of us see things exactly the same way. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Turn to the book of Revelation. If you don't know where Revelation is, come sit up here beside me. We'll go a little class right fast. Like, Revelation is the last book of the Bible. I can't tell you how many weeks we're going to go on chapter 1. This may be the only week. But if I get feeling like it with the Lord's, and I'm praying about it, I may do another week on chapter 1. We're going to take our time. We're not going to go straight through all at one time, because what I've discovered as a pastor, I've heard people tell me, please do Revelation. Please do Revelation. Do a study in Revelation. And about the third or fourth week, even the ones that are saying, do it, quit coming. I know you said it can't be me. Well, it may not be, but I can tell you what. I've done this many, many times. I've done it here on several occasions, and I've done it every place I ever pastored, and about the third or fourth week, people start dropping off because they don't want to hear it, because it scares them or it does something to them. And so I'm here to tell you right now with what's going on, I hope it does scare you. Okay? I hope it scares you. I hope it makes you think. I hope it gets your mind moving in a proper direction, because this is not what thus saith David Linton. This is what thus saith the Lord. And never in our entire life, ever, has the Word of God, has Revelation been more real than it is today. You need to be taking notes, because when you get out of here and you tell somebody what's going on, they're going to ask you, well, tell us what he said. I want you to be able to tell them what I said, because I'm not ashamed and I will not apologize for the Word of God. Again, if I offend you politically, I'm sorry, because I don't mean to. This is not politics. This is biblical. And I don't have to apologize for the Word of God. Okay? So again, watch it. Listen to it carefully. Again, let's take Trump and Biden out of it. They're nowhere in this. This is Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of the Republicans, not the revelation of the Democrats, not the revelation of Donald Trump, not the revelation of Joe Biden. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if we want to see this world get back together again, we need to be talking about Jesus. Okay, not about Trump, not about Biden. We're talking about Jesus. Okay, if we talk about Jesus, then things will happen. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Ready? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And he bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, For the time. Won't you list these words? For the time is at hand. Now we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Some of these words, we don't quite understand what exactly he was speaking of, okay? Because John's on the Isle of Patmos right now. The time is at hand. You got to understand, John's going to see it. He's going to be there, but he's not there. He's going to be there in the spirit. He's going to see what's going on, but then he's going to write it down. But we, on the other hand, are not on the Isle of Patmos. We're in this world, and we're getting ready to see it. We're already seeing it firsthand, okay? So here it is. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Talking about the eternity of Jesus Christ. From the seven spirits which are before the throne. Seven, whenever you see seven in the scriptures, it's always speaking of perfection. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins into his own blood. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. Listen carefully. He comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. The Almighty. And I, John, also am your brother and companion of tribulation in the kingdom of in the patience of Jesus Christ, which is in the isle which is called Patmos, for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm reading a little bit further. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Father, put your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, for your power, your anointing. We thank you, God, for your ever-abiding eye that's on us. And Lord, help us, God. So much is happening around us that our minds and our attention is getting off of the Word of God and is becoming bitter. Most of the people I see now are bitter one way or the other, and that's not what you intended. And people are being offended so easily, and that's not what you intended. And the Word of God is being suppressed, and you never intended for that to happen. And Father, help us sort of put you back in the forefront and quit being ashamed of being a Christian and being ashamed of knowing the Word of God and being ashamed of using the Word of God, because your Word is opening up in front of us right now in a very powerful way. We thank you and we trust you in all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Okay. Again, y'all get ready. Y'all ready? Okay. You know, I'd like to say honestly that we're getting ready to start an adventure. And we are, but as I look at what's going on around us, the plagues, the division, the wars, the rumors of wars, it says nation shall rise against nation. Literally that word nation means ethnic group against ethnic group. See what's going on around us, and you got the Muslims and the Christians, and you got so much going on in the Jews, you got all this going on around us, a fight for Jerusalem. You know, there's all kinds of things happening. So this is a map. This is a map that we're getting ready to go on. This map is for the not-so-distant future. Matter of fact, just if you want to see this map fulfilled, just turn around. Turn around. Look in your own backyard. Look in the front yard. Look on the news. You can't turn the news on within 10 minutes and not know that something is going on. There's even been people trying to get us to suppress this message. Even Christians trying to get us to suppress this message, because you know why? Because this is the only message in all of this mess that we got going on. This is the only message that counts. This is the only message that will give us life and help us get through. This is the only message, I promise you, that's got some power behind it. So here we go. Ready? We were warned. I'm going to back that up again. I just want to back that one more time. I just like, see, here you go. One more time. Here we go. We were warned The end of days is here now. Please put your political parties aside and listen to this. Please put your political aspirations away and listen to this, because until this is preached, the rest of it is just rhetoric. Do you understand me? The rest of it is rhetoric unless this is put in the middle of it. So, here we go. The book of Revelation, it is a very powerful book. I'm going to take my time. And again, this is just the start of chapter one. I don't know how long it's going to take us to do this, but we're going to do it, okay? This book is the most powerful book I've ever read in my life. When you see people say, the Bible says don't add to or take away from the book, you know, and we say, they're add, take away from the Bible, but it weren't talking about the whole Bible, it was talking about the book of Revelation. Don't add to and don't take away from this prophecy, because this is a prophecy that's going to really be something. It's a misunderstood book. It's misrepresented. It's even misinterpreted. I've got books in my office right now that tell us there's not going to be a rapture. I got books in there right now to tell all kinds of things. And it just blows my mind that people are believing this and writing this stuff down and taking it for granted that Jesus Christ does have a kingdom coming. They think that now we're just going to blend in and Christ is going to, we're just all going to blend in together and go into heaven and everything's going to be fine. We're going to blend in all right, but it's going to be with swords and spears. Okay? Revelation. So, if you're not careful, many will miss out on the blessings of this book. Now, again, this is not a fly-by-night, just go through, you know, and just read the book to you. This is not what this is about. This is taking it apart bit by bit, telling you historically what it means. And telling you, remember, every prophecy in the Word of God has three meanings to it. It's got the initial context. Okay, every time you see David talking in the Psalms, there's the initial context. Then it's got the future context. When Jesus talking, when David's talking about, my tongue cleaves to my mouth, and they pierced me. Okay, that was the present. He was feeling like that because Saul was chasing him. People were chasing him. That was the present context. The future context was Jesus on the cross. I thirst. Okay. So David felt like he was on a cross, present, future context. Jesus was on a cross, but then there's an eternal principle. When Jesus was carrying that cross, he carried our sin. And when he carried our sin, it caused great thirst. Okay. So there's a present context, a future context, and an eternal principle. Remember that about everything in the Word of God. If you can remember that, then you'll be okay. Okay. So now watch this. We're going to take our time. The first eight verses, just the first eight. That's why I want to take our time on chapter one. The first eight verses, and if I'm talking too fast, somebody raise your hand, say slow down, just do that. I'll slow it down because I don't want you to get past what we're talking about. The first eight verses help us understand the rest of this book. And you need to understand the rest of this book. Paul wrote seven letters to seven churches. But John writes one letter to seven churches. See the difference? Paul writes seven letters to seven churches. John writes one letter to seven churches. Each one of these letters, God is speaking to his people. But each church had their own problems. But in Revelation, he's speaking to every church about the same problem. Okay, so now, if you look at the seven churches of Revelation, if you can see this, they make a little circle. Actually, it's more like a bird flying, but it's a circle. There's Pergamum and Thyatira and Smyrna and Philadelphia and Sardis and Laodicea and Ephesus. You see that they make a little circle there. And so when you hear about Jesus in the middle of the lampstands, that's what's going on. All right, there's that circle that he's speaking about. So watch this. The purpose of this powerful book is Revelation. Now I've heard Revelation. Now that word Revelation actually is apocalypse, apocalypse, where we get the word apocalypse. When we think about apocalypse, all we can think about is bad things, you know, thunder and lightning, and we think about all these horrendous things happening. Revelation does not mean that. It does not mean end times and frightening things. What it does mean, revelation means to unveil. It means to uncover. It means to make clear. So when you see revelation, you don't have to be afraid of revelation, because revelation itself is not talking about rough thunder, lightning, power, boats, missiles, and atomic bombs. Revelation simply means to uncover, to reveal. Apocalypse, which is to unveil. So now, the first thing I want you to see, I want you to notice about this thing now, very first thing, if you look in the very first verses of this, see the person of Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus came, he came as a lamb. He bore a cross. And he remained silent as a lamb led to the slaughter. Y'all remember that? The very first time he came as a lamb. But now things are different. Now John's on the Isle of Patmos. John is the last living apostle. He's in his 90s. So here's John in his 90s on the Isle of Patmos. He's in there working the copper mines or the silver mines on the Isle of Patmos. He's living meagerly on the rocks. He regularly gets beat, and he has very little to eat and very little as far to wear. But it's on this place that Jesus Christ comes to him and says, hold on, I'm not through with you yet. Some of y'all right here, right now, you've gone through some bad things. And because you've gone through some bad things, you think God is through with you. You might feel like John on the Isle of Patmos. You've been pushed away from where you thought you were supposed to be. You were taken out of where you thought you were supposed to be doing. You felt undone, and you even felt unclean. But I'm here to tell you something right now. Just like God told John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I'm not through with you yet. You're still going to have to minister to kings and priests. You're still going to have to bring forth this book. Some of y'all in here right now need to hear this. God's not through with you yet. God's got something for you to do. Don't you feel down and out and don't feel like it's all over. It's just getting started. God's got something for you. Look at somebody and say, God's got something for you. Watch this. First time he came as a lamb and bore a cross, and he was silent before the slaughter. Watch this. When he comes the next time, oh, it's going to be awesome, because he's coming as a lion. He's going to be wearing a crown, and he will no longer remain silent. You say, when is God going to do something? He's telling us what's going to happen before he comes back. This is what's going to happen. All this stuff, the book of Revelation. But I've read the book, and guess what? We win. We win. We don't lose. You're not a loser in this. So now watch this. Here we go. This is so awesome. It's a prophetic book, and I'm trying to slow down. Because I want to just jump in and run down the aisle right now, and that's not what we need. We got to lay a foundation. Okay, we're going to lay this foundation because it's important. I need you to write stuff down, because people are going to ask you, what did he talk about? I want you to be able to tell them. It's a prophetic book, because it says, Jesus says, I must show you things which must shortly come to pass. I believe that's talking about 2020. The reason I believe it's talking about 2020, watch this. Shortly means, matter of fact, the word for shortly is where we get the word, is tachos, is where we get the word tachometer. He's saying, I'm going to show you stuff that when it starts happening, it's going to happen so quickly, and it's going to happen so suddenly. Once it starts, it's going to start in rapid fire succession, and no one can stop. Think about 2020. We were worried about the murderous hornets, or whatever you call those things. We were more concerned about whatever here and there. And next thing you know, here comes the pandemic. And then after the pandemic is the shutdowns. And when the shutdowns go, then the economy goes down. Then we go in bigger debt to try to help people out of the shutdown. It was only supposed to be 14 days, and it's still going on. There's people that have not worked in months. There's things that's going on. There's businesses that have shut down and will never open back up. The Bible says before Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a great falling away in the church. And I'll be part of the falling away in the churches. It's already predicted that 50% of the people in churches, because of this, will never step foot back in another church. 50%. Some say 52%. Why? Because they can watch it on YouTube as they want to, or they can watch it on this, or they just quit coming all together. Okay? That's the great falling away. Okay? That's the great falling away that we're looking for before Jesus comes back in Thessalonians. And remember, the great revival, the end time revival, is not hinged or not riding on the back of prosperity, it's riding on the back of persecution. And now's the time, because if you start mentioning Jesus some places, you will be not just drummed out, you will be beat up and taken out. Okay? So again, once it starts, tacos, it's going to be just like that. And what's happened? Watch what's going on in our, not just our nation, but our world is happening so fast you can't even keep up with it. Every day something different happens and something new happens, and it just blows me away with what I see. Then in the book of Revelation, there's two types of prophecy. Okay? There is forthtelling and foretelling. Forthtelling and foretelling. The difference is, forthtelling is looking at what's going on around you and being able to discern through the Word of God what's going on. When you come in here on Sundays and you start hearing the preacher or whoever's talking, Sunday school teachers, preachers, they're talking and they relate what you're going on, what's going on in your life now, the current events with the Word of God. That's called forthtelling. That is actually a prophecy, but the prophecy is actually taking what's going on and laying the Word of God over it and figuring it out. Okay? To give you some insight on how to maneuver through all this tough stuff. Then there's foretelling. Foretelling is what's coming in the future. It has not happened yet. Foretell is happening. Foretell, it hasn't happened yet. In chapter 1 through 3 of Revelation, those chapters, is foretelling, because it's talking to the seven churches that are current. But even in the middle of the foretelling, it's also foretelling, because it's talking about churches. Remember, there's the immediate context, the future context, and then there's the eternal principle. And so here we are, foretell. Now, foretell, chapters 4 through 22. And it's going to be quite an amazing thing when this goes off. It says, matter of fact, I hear people all the time say, what's going on? What is happening? Has the world gone crazy? There's things right now that people are fighting over that I can't even figure why they're even fighting over. Why is this even becoming a fight? Some of the things people are saying, you know, it just blows me out of the water, some of the things I'm seeing going on. But the Bible says in the end days that they'll be calling the good stuff bad and the bad stuff good. And we're living in that right now. Okay? They'll take something bad and they'll mask it all up. And when they mask it all up, they'll throw it back at you. And you're thinking that they're trying to talk about one thing, but the end result is something different. Okay? So here we go. Now, this is not a political problem that we have right now. That's why nobody can fix it. Let me just stop for a minute. This is not a political problem we've got going on right now. That's why nobody can fix it. It cannot be politically discerned. Politically, what people are doing is they're following the polls. And whoever's base says this, or whoever's base says that, or whatever they got going on, local, worldwide, whatever, they're following the polls according to what the people think. And we'll get into that with Laodicea, because that's exactly what it means there in Laodicea. But to see what's going on is a spiritual problem. And because it's a spiritual problem, the only way to discern what's going on around us now is to have spiritual discernment. And without spiritual discernment, you'll be walking around constantly going, what is going on? Why do they think that way? Why are they thinking that way? Why do we have so much? Why do we have 45% over here and 45% over here, and we got a few in the middle? Why don't we have everybody together? It's because it's not politically discerned. It is spiritually discerned. And when God is allowed to get back in the mix, it won't be 45 and 45 and in the middle. It'll be everybody coming together. But until that day that God's allowed back in, it's going to get worse. Because once the rapture takes place, you think it's bad now. Once the rapture takes place, the Bible says in Thessalonians, he that letteth, or he that's holding the place together, which is the Holy Spirit embodied in the church, when it is taken out of the way, then literally all hell will break loose. And that's chapters 4 to 22. That's hell having its heyday. So here we go. I know this is probably not the most, I know you don't feel like shouting right now, but that's okay. I'd rather you not shout now than pout later because you said, why didn't he tell me? Amen? Amen. Yeah. And so, let's get ready to go here. Thank you, DC. He's getting me some water. All right, watch this. Listen carefully. This is so cool. I'm throwing some facts up there to kind of help you along the way with some of this. Genesis is a book of beginnings. Okay? If you look in Genesis, there's so many firsts. There's the first animals. There's the first land, the first earth. There is the first man, the first woman, the first marriage, the first kids. There's so many firsts. And then in the book of Revelation, it is a book of completion. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. The book of Revelation is the book of completion. So because of that, now watch this. I want you to see this. Watch this carefully. Genesis, the commencement of heaven and earth. Revelation, the conservation of heaven and earth. Thank you, bro. You are the man. You look like somebody I know, too. I'm not sure. He favors this guy, though. I'm not sure. Okay. Genesis is the commencement of heaven and earth. Revelation is the conservation of heaven and earth. Genesis is the entrance of sin and shows the curse. Revelation shows the end of sin and the end of the curse. Genesis shows the dawn of Satan and his activity. Revelation shows the doom of Satan and his activity. Genesis, the tree of life, is relinquished. Revelation, the tree of life, is regained. Genesis, death makes its entrance. Revelation, death makes its exit. Genesis, sorrow begins. Revelation, sorrow is banished. That makes me think about the little boy sitting there watching with his dad, watching somebody get married in church. He looks over and he says, Dad, he says, what is this? It's a wedding. They're getting married. He says, well, why is the bride wearing white? He says, this is the happiest day of her life. He said, okay. He said, well, why is the groom wearing black? Okay, just trying to lighten up the load a little bit because y'all looking like you want to be left alone. Ready? We're almost through. We're getting there. It's a pictorial book. It says that things are signified. So that word signified means to give a sign. You see, the church at the time was going through persecution. John himself was a political prisoner. And because he was a political prisoner, because his politics didn't line up with everybody else's, he wound up on the Isle of Patmos. I'm going to stop that right there. You may feel like that right now. And it doesn't matter to me. Honestly, it does not matter to me which party you are a part of. That's your decision, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I will support you in that, and I'll make sure that you have that right and that nobody jumps you about that right, because it's a right, okay? But still, John was a political prisoner, and he was up against the wall, so to speak. They tried to, again, you've heard it, they tried to boil him in oil, and he wouldn't burn. And so they put out his eyes. He couldn't see, but they put him on the Isle of Patmos, and he still worked in the mines. But God came to him in the middle of this thing. So now watch this. Ready? That word sign. Revelation is full of symbols and numbers. I want you to listen carefully. Getting ready to open up the key to the book. Why is it necessary to use signs? Number one, it was a spiritual code. The Jews were under attack. The Jews were being eat up. John himself thrown on the Isle of Patmos. They don't want to hear what God has to say. In order for you to be a good citizen of Rome, you had to. They didn't care if you worshiped God as long as you would go in the temple and burn incense to Caesar. And they refused to go burn incense to Caesar, so they were considered insurrectionists. And so again, it hadn't become a state religion yet. And right now, the Jews were being crucified in droves. And so because things were so bad, God allowed John to do this. And then John, of course, what would happen is the angel of each church, which was the pastor, did y'all know I was an angel? Okay. The angel of every church would sit down and read this to every church. And as he read this to every church, they would talk about it and they would talk about the symbols. Okay? But the non-Jew could not understand what the symbols meant. And because of that, they didn't, because if they could understand what it meant, they would use it against the church. They would use it to hurt them. They would use it to speed it up or to slow it down or try to prevent what it says. And so, first, it's a spiritual code. And it's wild because it talks all kinds of locusts, you know, and all this stuff that's going on in there. And also to use the symbols because symbols, they do not change. Time has no effect on them. And they spark emotions. Instead of dictator, they talk about beast. Instead of church, it's lampstand. You see, when John starts seeing this, and he starts seeing all the things that's getting ready to happen, and with the earth rolling up like a scroll, then Peter talks about that too, which I believe is a nuclear explosion when the earth rolls up like a scroll. And when they talk about locusts in the mountains, and even some of the Old Testament characters talking about chariots leaping from mountain to mountain, they were talking about jets. But they didn't know what a jet was. They had never heard of a jet. And so when God lets them see this stuff, when he rolls back the scroll and lets them see this, then he has to describe it the best way he knows how. It's kind of like if you got a 2-year-old in the house trying to describe what they see, and then you're looking at it and thinking, that's not that. What in the world are they talking about? They're describing it in the language they understand. And so John, he did not understand tanks. He did not understand modern military equipment. He did not understand what it was like to have atomic bombs. He didn't understand any of this stuff. And so what he said was what he could get in his finite mind, this infinite message. And so as he's giving out this infinite message, that's when Revelation was born. You see, Revelation was to prepare and strengthen the Christians of Asia Minor, those 7 churches, which represented the church world, that they will remain faithful against what was coming. You see, verse 3 says, again, the time is at hand. Now, I told you, think about that, the time is at hand. In verse 3, when it says the time is at hand, it's not talking about time on the clock. The time is at hand. It's not a time clock. What it is a due time, a due season, an era of time, E-R-A, era of time. And so what John is doing is, Jesus is telling John that it's not due time yet, but the time is coming. And I'm here to declare today that I believe we're living in due time. Okay? We're living in the time that is at hand. We're living in due season. We're living in that era of time. And because of that, you see all this stuff happening in rapid fire succession. Tachos. Tachycardia. Okay? Tachometer. Speed is happening just like this. You cannot turn on the television without something different happening, something new. You can watch the television every day. You can watch it all day long on the news channel. And I guarantee you'll see something different every day as this all progresses. Okay? I'm getting ready. Here we go. We're getting ready to close. Yes. And next week, get ready and bring your seatbelts because we're going to have another good time. Ready? Here's the unveiling. See the unveiling? You can tell we're getting toward the last because now we're unveiling it one more time. Come on, man. Where you at? There you are. The overall scope of the book of Revelation. Revelation. Watch this. Chapter 1. 1 and 19, it says, I want you to write the things that you've seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be. That's what he says. John, verse 19, write the things you have seen, which will be chapter 1, the Lord's work in his church. Write the things which are. Chapter 1 is in the lampstands. We'll talk about that next week. Chapter 2, he's talking 3, he's talking about the seven churches of Revelation. That's the things which are. Things which you have seen, Jesus, the vision of Jesus in the church. Next you see the vision of the seven churches, the things which are, and the things which shall be. First, the Lord's work in the church, in his church, the Lord's work to his church. Now the Lord's prophetic, Lord's word prophetic after his church is gone. There's so much dispute about the rapture. If you look in the book of Revelation and look at the wording, and some and y'all theologians, some of you will agree, some of you will disagree. That's okay. I'm not here to get you to agree with me all the time. I'm here just to put forth something to you, and then you work it out yourself. If you look in the book of Revelation, in the book itself, with the people coming up into heaven, there's a possibility of seven raptures. It just looks like it. I'm not saying there is or not. Seven raptures through the book of Revelation. So if you see that possibility of seven raptures in the book of Revelation, just itself, people coming up under the altar, you know, people appearing here and the people appearing there. But we believe, and we'll talk about it later, but I just want to really quickly talk about this. You may or may not believe, but there's the pre-tribulation rapture. Okay? The pre-tribulation rapture is, it's going to happen after we talk about the seven churches in Revelation chapter 4. That's going to be the rapture. The timing of the rapture, we believe, is pre-trib. I believe. Some people believe mid-trib. If it's pre-trib, it happens in the beginning. The Bible says in Thessalonians, he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then the son of perdition will be revealed. And that's the Antichrist. But until the church is out of the way, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. I believe he's here, but I believe he's not been revealed in his full wrath yet. And once the church is taken out of the way, then he comes in his full wrath. That's in the beginning of the 7 years. Some theologians and some people, and I'm not going to argue with you about it. If you believe that way, that's fine. The biggest thing is we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ saves us from sin. That's the biggest thing that's got to happen. Number two, mid-trib. You believe that we're going to be here for 3.5 years. In the tribulation, the next 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. So people are buying up food, and storing food, and getting underground shelters and getting things done because they want to be taken care of during the 3.5 years when everything's gone crazy and the church is still here. Again, if you're right, then okay. If you're not right, you know, then you can argue with me on the way up. Okay? And then there's those that say the post-trib, which is at the end of the tribulation, they're going to be raptured. Then there's something called the atrib. I know, hear all these. Here it is, atrib. Atrib, A in front of anything means nothing, not going to happen. They believe that nothing's going to happen. We're going to be here through the whole 7 years, at the end of 7 years, when Jesus comes back in the clouds, that and starts the millennial reign, that's when everything's going to be set up. Then some even believe that that's not going to happen. So you got to take the Word of God. You got to see the Word of God and believe that it means what it says. So whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, a-trib, once the trumpet sounds, we can argue on the way up. But I can promise you when that trumpet sounds, there will be no argument. Amen? There won't be arguing. You know, not a bit. I will be happy as a bug in a rug, as a, you know, whatever you want to call it. Okay. So now, watch this. And then we're getting ready to close. DC, come get ready to play something. I'm building it one more time. Watch this. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. Signed, God. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking, that's God talking. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. He knows what's coming. That ought to bring solace and hope and strength. Because the things he says, the stuff's already happening. Stuff's already happening so fast that it makes your head spin. Can you imagine what it looked like, or can you even remember what it looked like before 2020 and right after 2020? Who would have ever thought the whole world would have shut down? Who would have believed that we're all wearing masks when we go places? Who would have believed all these businesses that will never start up again? Who would have believed that all this unrest and all this violence? There's guys that were in Afghanistan and people that fled Beirut, those places, to come here, and now they're going, this is just as bad as Beirut. This is worse than the stuff I saw in Afghanistan. Who would ever believe that? It's because I'm not being an alarmist, I'm being a realist. Revelation has begun. No need to argue about it. If you don't want to believe it, that's fine. But knowing that it's here and that it's happening, I do have an assurance inside. I had a dream one night. And in the dream, and this was just a few weeks ago, it just came back to me. Just then, I'm walking down the street in my own neighborhood. And as I'm walking, I'm holding my grandchildren by the hand. As I'm holding my grandchildren by the hand, this is a very powerful dream. As I'm holding my grandchildren by the hand, I remember telling them, it's okay. Don't be afraid. It's not going to hurt long. Because once they pull that trigger, we're going to see God. Wow. Just be strong. We're in it. We cannot deny it. And again, the answer is not found in the Republicans, the Democrats, Trump, Biden. It's in Jesus. Thank you. That's the answer. And as soon as we let Him be the answer, at least we'll feel better, because the Bible tells us He's not going to be accepted. Be ready. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you, number one, to bring as many people as you can. We're going to do the next two or three Sundays. It's going to be Revelation. Then we'll do something else. Then we'll do it again. And I'll let you know when the Sundays are going to be Revelation, which is going to be a lot here throughout the end of the year and on. But we're not going to do it every week, but for the next two or three weeks, it will be Revelation. Bring your family and friends and tell them that this is not about any kind of agenda, political agenda. It's about a biblical agenda. And it's not about bringing discord. It's about bringing harmony. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking around. I'm going to get in your face for a minute. Ready? When I speak of this stuff, if it brings fear, I'm not talking about a healthy regard. I'm talking about fear in your heart to where you don't even want to hear it, because it shakes you to the bone, or it even shakes you to whatever you may even be trying to believe about this last day. If I just this message today, which hadn't even got started yet, brings fear to the bone, nobody looking around, every eye closed. But you put that hand up and say, it just gets me. I can't hardly take it. The next thing will be recommitment to Christ, because He knows what He's doing. He's already told you it's coming. The God of this world is taking control, but it's only a lease. And the God of this world knows His time is limited, but He will not accept His defeat. And because He will not accept His defeat, He still thinks He can win. And He's fighting with everything He's got to gain control. Again, I'm not talking about Democrats and Republicans. I'm talking about Satan. Next question. If you're here right now, nobody looking around, and as I start speaking about this stuff, you begin to think in your heart, and nobody's watching, you begin to think in your heart, am I really ready for this? Am I really ready for what's coming? Am I ready? Am I going to be able to stand? Well, nobody's looking around. Would you put up that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure I can handle this. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. We're going to pray. And I want to get ready for next week, because I promise you, when we get through with this, it won't be a sad thing. It'll be a joyful thing. Because the Bible says, blessed are they that read these words and keep these words. Blessed, happy, blessed, prosperous. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you that you already know what's happening. And you already have this under control. I thank you that although Satan will fight, he will not win. And I trust you to take care of us through it all. In the name of Jesus, I rededicate my life and my hope to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now come back next week and do your best to bring somebody with you. Okay? Bring somebody with you. There's nothing like being in the service with everybody, because it's collective faith and collective praise. And there's also just something special about the church. God set this up this way. And when the seven letters were written out, they were written out to seven churches, seven groups. Okay? We're going to be talking about all this. Maybe next week, I'm not sure. Either we're going to finish up chapter one and start on a church. I'm not even sure how to do all that. Do all the churches at once? Do two churches a Sunday? I'm not even sure, because I just said, God, whatever you want, how I want to do it. Okay? But it's going to be awesome. God's awesome. We know He is. Amen? God is awesome. All the time.
Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for what you've given us through these times. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you, and we ask that you protect us and open our minds and hearts to receive of you in all things. We give you glory, honor, and praise. In Christ's name, amen.